Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman, and thanks for joining us this week. So change, kind of hard, right? We all struggle with some type of change, whether you've chosen it or it's thrust upon you. Change is here. It always seems to be here, or at least at our back door. So to help you navigate the change that you're going through, whatever that means to you, of course, I have a free gift right out of the gate. If you go to my website, I have a free communication style assessment, and it will help you understand how people are perceiving you in every conversation in your life, both professionally and personally. You get two reports. One gives you your superpowers, kind of just your natural style of communicating. It also gives your lowest style, which is your blind spot, which maybe is even more informative and maybe will help you have even better conversations, more productive conversations. Again, both personally and professionally. I have to tell you where to find that free gift, right? Go to my website, which is whitmanassos.com/CSA. For the communication style assessment. It's my gift to you. Now, if you're loving the show, which I do hope you are, please share it with your friends and family. I have such amazing guests. We share such great content. Let's get it out to the world and share with the people we love. Now, my motivational quote for today is by Jeanette Rankin. Jeanette's going to get us in the vibe of what our conversation is about today. So Jeanette says, men and women are like right and left hands. It doesn't make sense not to use both. Now, you've heard the expression, men are from Mars, women were from Venus. And you've also heard, you can't live with them, you can't live without them. Why have these phrases and classifications just been given through the years? You know, guys and ladies, would you be interested in learning how to gain insight and understanding into the dynamics and behaviors related to family, friendship, personal health, and work? I know I am always looking to improve my relationship with my family. Now, my guest today is Richard Avdoyan. Now, Richard is the founder and CEO of Midwest Business Institute, Inc., a business. It's a coaching, consulting, and training firm. And Richard's been doing this since 1996. He works with businesses and associations committed to training and retaining highly motivated, productive employees. He's an employee development expert who specializes in enhancing employee potential and maximizing capabilities to provide exemplary customer service and increase productivity and profitability. He's worked in the healthcare field for over 27 years and with clients in over 40 different industries, providing programs and services in the areas of teamwork, leadership, and employee development. He's also a nationally recognized speaker who offers keynote speeches, seminars, and workshops that focus on enhancing human assets to increase productivity and profitability, with the key being maximizing personal capabilities. Please help me welcome the amazing Richard to the show. So, Richard, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Connie. It's great to be here.
Yeah. And Richard and I met, we were introduced. No, you heard me speak at an event. And then I put him on ignore for 6 months because I never saw the email and he still wanted to meet me. So we hit it off our first conversation. And I love what Richard's about. And I knew that my listeners would enjoy him as well. So Richard is an expert really on relationships, right, Richard? Wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, relationships in general. But what really has caused me to make a shift in my business is what we talked about is I worked in psychotherapy for 27 years before I got into business consulting and coaching. And throughout my experience, I found that majority of the clients that I had were men. And I realized that there were very few male therapists at that time. You know, I'm a much older gentleman than now. I think it's changed. But predominantly, they were female. And men had a very difficult time with female therapists who tended to keep asking men, tell me how you feel, tell me how you feel, which is an appropriate approach to therapy, granted. But men have a real difficulty being pounced on with how do you feel when they have uncertainty of what's appropriate for them to feel. So as a result of it, I started working with men's groups. And I eventually developed Voyager, which was an experiential weekend for men to actually address what I found to be the key issues that men struggle with that women had no knowledge of. And if women understood this, they would understand the men in their lives, their sons, their grandparents, their fathers, to really help enhance relationships. So that's why I'm now shifting to, and I'm forming Men Mentoring Men Network and a seminar called Mask, M-A-S-K, Unity, Revealing the Man Behind, what women really need to understand about men. And that's what brought us together. Basically, yeah. You and I.
Yeah. And I was fascinated by that because here's the thing, right, Richard, you know, you're a lifelong learner. I'm a lifelong learner. And with all of that experience and people doing more therapy, right, mental health is definitely an issue in this country. And I don't just mean schizophrenia, right? We have depression and we have, you know, abuse of pills and alcohol and all those things because we're so stressed out. Stress, right, is another type of mental health. Yeah. So I know you have four key issues that you and I in our brief conversation, four key issues that men struggle with and throughout their lives. And I think this shines such a great light on the conversation we're going to have today. So can you share those four with us?
Certainly. The first one is unresolved issues with our fathers. Young men throughout their entire life, and I've worked with men, as I told you, from many age groups that seek affirmation from their fathers that they are a man amongst men. Men are taught real early that we're competitors of each other. So how do you share in buddyship and friendship that your weaknesses or your voids or where you need help if you're struggling with where do I rank amongst other men? Mm-hmm. Fathers are very critical of their sons, not in a negative way, but enhancing their growth. For example, honey, you have sons, correct?
I have two boys, yeah.
Okay. When they came home from kindergarten and they had an object that looks, you don't know what the heck it is, but you just go ape over. Oh, sweetie. Oh, I love it. And you put it somewhere where everybody can see it because you're like showing this honored piece of artwork. And the boy says, wow. Dad comes home and says, you know, son, next time you do it, if you do it like this, it'll be smoother. And the color, you might want to do. So it's never good enough. Now, fathers are not trying to put the son down. Their mindset is, I want to help him do better. But what the boy hears is, I don't like you, man. I like mommy because mommy praises me. So I got to always look and do better. At baseball games, when the boy swings and he misses and he looks and the father's going, shucks. Mother's going, oh, sweetie, wonderful. You'll get it next time. And then the father's shaking, saying, oh, man. And it's more of an embarrassment to him because I should have taught him. Or, boy, I know what that feels like. And I feel sad for him. But the boy only hears disapproval.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not. Fathers want the best for their kids. Please, you got to understand that, ladies. But in the bottom is, boys struggle their entire life wanting to hear praise and acceptance from their fathers that they rank as a man amongst men.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two is our jealousy of women's friendships. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've interviewed and I've worked with women for years in therapy and in my seminars. Two strange women. Now, this is going to be a little too much for some of your audience, but I'm going to be very frank as I end. Two women could be in a bus terminal or in a train station or the airport and not know each other. And they could be there for 2 hours and they could share such intimate details of their life. I mean, it could be from, you know, I don't want to get too much, but they could be really personal stuff. And yet I could interview two men who say they're best friend for 20 years and ask them just some basic questions and they won't know the answer. They'll know how much beer they drink or what kind they drink. They may know the sports team they like, but they don't know any intimate issue, struggle, or concern.
Crazy.
Women have 2 to 3 best friends, typically. It could be their aunt, their sister, their cousin, or a female that's real close to them. Then they have girlfriends. the 10 or 12 girls that they socialize. Then they have girlfriends, big round circle. Men will say they have 5 or 6, of which none of them know anything really about them, except this one may know about one thing. This one may know another different thing, but no one person is a confidant, because we are taught, don't tell another guy your weakness because he'll use it against you. And yet we long for friendships, because when a man's divorced, he has nobody, because who's he going to share his pain with? So then he turns to alcohol or gets depressed or gets married quickly to the wrong kind of woman because he's needy.
Sure.
So there's a real problem. I'll give you a humorous story. My wife, I'm Armenian, for anybody who wants to know what that last name is. I'm Armenian, and my wife's Armenian. So for years, a bunch of Armenian women, all married, would get together at different homes every other month. Well, us men can't be there. But one time I had some guys over of the spouses, and we were in the basement. And the girls were upstairs, and there were 12, and there's 12 of them. And I said to some of the guys, I said, do you realize that those women up there, 11 of those women up there, know what you look like buck naked? And they laughed and said, you're crazy. I'm doing you this psychology crap. And I said, I'm telling you, there are 11 women upstairs that know what you look like buck naked. Well, they just thought I was crazy. 5-6 months go by, and we're at some event. And two of the guys come up to me and says, you know, I went home and I asked my wife that. She goes, oh, honey, we talked about that 5 years ago. I mean, it was like, and the guys were like flabbergasted. You know, it's just so strange. But then there's another one. When my sister, who's a few years younger than I, now this is old school, it's changed over the years. I remember she used to have these little undershirts with little rosebuds on it. You know, when they were little girls.
Yeah.
And those days, they would take you to a department store to try your first bra.
Yes.
And I remember I was with my mother. I'm the oldest kid. I'm there. And they're in these shelves, these clear plastic shelves. And there was always a woman there, and they had a dressing room. And here's my little sister with my mother. And they take her into these rooms, and this lady's trying her out. So my sister at 12, whatever age she was, is bearing her breasts in some of a strange woman, and my mother and my sister comes out glowing because she's got this bra on. And I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on here? And then I thought, wow, that's really interesting that my sister at a young age was able to get naked, if you will, with a strange woman. And women are very applauding and open to teaching each other. So my wife and I hope I'm not going off. It's all related to this. My wife and I are in the departments, in a grocery store. And Nancy's a coupon person. And we're going up and down the aisles. And we get to that large female section. And my wife she's got the coupon like this in her hand. And she's looking at the brand. She's looking at the coupon. And this strange woman who's older than my wife walks up to my wife and says to my wife, I'm standing there with the cart, says, oh, sweetheart, have you tried their brand? And my wife says, no. And they go into what was like a 10-minute conversation about this female product that they need monthly. And I'm laughing. I'm thinking, is this not the bizarrest thing? So I thought, okay. So I said, hey, honey, I'll be right back. So I go and I'm looking for that little tiny section in the store for men. And I go up and I stand there and I pick up a box of 3. You all know what I'm talking about. And I'm holding it and I'm waiting and waiting for some guy to come down the aisle. This guy comes down the aisle a little older than me. I said, excuse me, have you ever tried this brand? And he thought I was crazy. And I'm thinking, why would that not be appropriate? My wife could talk to some strange lady, and this is not an odd object here, but yet the guy thought I was crazy. And I'm thinking, why should that be so strange? Why should that be so strange? Because I would hope that boys and men are using those objects and encouraging things and talking about them and the response. But it was just bizarre to me that women have friendships that could be on the moment, they could create a friendship where men are longing for that. They really need it. And I find that it's sad It really is sad. And that's got to change. That's the second one.
Yeah, that's got to change. I agree. Go ahead. Next one.
The third one is men have a very difficult time separating love, affection, passion, and sex. Because over the years, I did a lot of sex therapy when I was in practice. And I always found it interesting that the gentleman that trained me said, Richard, you need to encourage people to look at sex as a pie. And that you should never go into pie slicing in and coming out the same way all the time. Because if something happens health-wise or mentally that disrupts a person, it jeopardizes intimacy. Because they're only expected to be start here and end there. If it can start there but can't end there, people get depressed, they get isolated, they detach. There's all these issues.
Fascinating.
But what happens is foreplay was developed, in my belief, for women, not for men. Women get the result of it, but it's designed for women because women touch each other so much in life that a normal touch is common. So to elevate it to intimate arousal, you have to go beyond their norm. Men are touched so limited. In fact, between, you know, birth and 18, boys are touched like one third of what women are touched.
Wow.
At 3 years old, little boys start having adult men shake their hand and don't hug them anymore. Little boys over three get thrown in bed. Little girls can be eight and they get tucked into bed with the blanket. When the mothers are walking in the mall, you think about it. Look at the mall the next time you go to the mall. A mother could have a seven-year-old girl who's standing right next to her and their three-year-old son's running all over the place. But he's not being held. So what happens is as we get older as men, skin is such a foreign thing to us that it takes very limited amount of touch to stimulate a man. Arousing a man is very simple. You just put your hand on a guy's thigh and he could get aroused, not necessarily sexually, but physically, which may cause an erection. But then men think once you got this, you got to do something with it. So women learn real early in their marriage, I don't want to hug or touch my husband too much because if he gets aroused and he wants to do everything. So now men only get touched in intimate situations. So that's why they're so needy for sex, because they really want to be touched. Now, they may not own that, but that's the reality.
I think, Richard, to some extent, they might not even know that that's a trigger, or because it's probably happening on the subconscious level.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's learned behavior that you don't even realize it's learned behavior, right?
Absolutely. Well, the other thing, too, is that I've said the women will tell me, I know what the process is going to be. My husband will get in bed. He'll take his big toe and he'll rub my ankle. Then he'll go like, no, one, two, three, four, five, six, and then he's sleeping. You know, I mean, it's almost humorous, but it saddens me because men miss the opportunity of hugging and the benefit. Women can go up to it. Every woman has a different type of emotional need physically. They know when they want the hug from their mommy. They know when a sister could give a hug, a girlfriend, their husband, their children. They all give a different kind of energy and support.
Yeah, I agree with
men
that.
Men don't have, men, you ever see two men that can be best friends? They burp each other. I mean, God forbid their chest to chest and their crotches touch. Oh my God, they would freak out.
That is so, you know, funny.
I mean, it's almost, I mean, think just one men, they'll do it on the side. They'll put their hips out so their bodies don't touch, but their chest might. I mean, it's even fathers and sons. I mean, it saddens me.
I have to pay attention. This is funny. Wait, there's four, right? What's the fourth one?
The fourth one is abuse. Now think of what we do to women with abuse and rape. You know, boys are physically, sexually, and emotionally abused as well. But look what we do to girls, women. We torture them in prosecution when it comes to abuse and such. Can you imagine a boy or a young man admitting he was abused?
Yeah.
Or I mean, even if it could be by a dominant mother, it doesn't have to be by another man. But that is such a devastating thing, magnified by what it does for women. They persecute women. Could you imagine how devastating a guy would be? I mean, those are the four key things. Now, I have never, I will tell you, I to this day, I have never met or worked with a man, either in executive coaching and business or through therapy, that didn't have one or two of those items. I have never met a man that says none of those apply to me.
But, well, it's a societal thing too, right? I mean, right. Society. So not only is there an element of that at home, because fathers learn from their fathers, from grandfathers, from great grandfathers, right? It's this,
or they don't learn,
or they don't learn, don't right? Learn. Which is even maybe worse. But they're learning something about that connection, the male connection, right, versus female connection, all those things. Then you go into society, sports, and all those other things. And again, there's another layer of learning that's happening that, you know, we probably, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, yeah, I could be standing in a line somewhere. And I thought of something my husband and I, we went to, I don't know if they do this by you in Illinois, but here on the East Coast in the summer, they have fairs and different things. And so my husband and I went, and he wanted hot dogs, and I don't eat hot dogs. So I was going to get a pretzel or something. They were two different stands, you know, sure. the trucks. I get online. Mine had a long line, and my husband gets his hot dog. We agree where we're going to meet and sit. And I come back, and he said, oh, did you know the girl in front of you? And I said, no. And he said, you had a 10-minute conversation with her. I go, I know. Do you know who she knows? And I went on and on and on. And he goes, but you said you didn't know her. I go, no, I met her in line. We had this lovely conversation. I couldn't believe it. She knows so-and-so. We both went to Rutgers. It's a small world. And he's like, how did you do that in 10? Like, you could talk to a brick wall. I said, just turn around, smile, and we started to have a conversation. That was weird to him.
Wow. I agree. But what's interesting about that is guys have a hard time. I'll give you a perfect example you talk about. I went to the gym yesterday, and I've lost 18 pounds now. And I'm on this crusade. But there was this young guy that was working out, and I kept staring at him because he looked my height and where I want to be physically. And, you know, I'm watching him and I'm looking at what he's doing. And I finally got the gut. I said, waved them to come over, and I could tell he's wondering, what the heck do you want to talk to me about, mister? So I come over. So I said, I realize you probably noticed I was staring at you. I just want to be clear why I'm staring at you. I said, you know, how much do you weigh? And I'm asking him questions. And I said, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Now, a woman would not have to say, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. See, a guy would think, if I talk to some strange guy, are you coming on to me? I mean, it's so odd that men read. We can't just establish relations with strange guys because they say, is this guy hitting on me? Why is he coming on me?
Right,
absolutely. I mean, I want to go back to one more story about romance. My wife, I always hear about young men and men saying, you know, buying gifts for my wife is hard. I don't know what to get. So my wife has never been happy with what I bought her. I mean, it's never been the right thing. So one year I got really ambitious. I said, okay, I'm going to go to the mall with her and I'm going to pay attention to everything she says. I'm going to make this my purpose in this visit with her. So we'd be shopping around different stores and she said, oh, that's lovely. Oh my God, that's just absolutely stunning or whatever it was. And I would make a conscious mental record. Then we would separate and I'd go back to those places and I'd buy what I thought was her size and those things. So I'm opening Christmas morning and I'm thinking, oh, golly, I got it this year. She opens up the present. She didn't like one damn thing. I'm thinking, what the heck? I said, Nancy, you said you like this and you love that. Yeah, for my mother or my sister, but not for me. I think so now as a man, I have to understand what she's talking about and be more inquisitive. Well, men don't shop. We don't understand it. That's why, Connie, I came up with a book that's coming out. It's a shopping guide for men, for women to complete, fill in, and give to their significant others.
I love it.
I mean, it's crazy. Because a guy goes to the gas station and he sees those roses, like in Amoco, where they have these, they used to have roses. A guy takes a rose home because he just says, you know, this nice. What's this for? You never bought me a rose before. Why are you? I mean, you can't win. Now, my most humorous story of all the story about romance is I had, from the day I got married, I said to my wife, you're not my best friend. You'll never be my best friend, because a best friend to me is someone of my own sex. Because a best friend, when we got married, Nancy, we had two candles in most ceremonies, and you do one. You're more than my best friend. You're part of me. My best friend, because I'm not your best friend. You can tell me all you want. Your sister is your best friend. So she, every time you buy, you can't get a card that says my lover, my friend, my wife, because I would not buy that. So she, you know, for men, buying Valentine's is another one. So one day I was at Hallmark store, give a little plug to Hallmark. And now I go to the Dollar Tree, get them cheaper. But I waited in line. And I mean, in the area, and this guy comes up, and he was much older than I. And I made the comment, oh, it's that time of year, we got to buy these Valentines. He said, yes. And he looked around, and he picked up one. And I said, how many years have you been married, sir? And he said, 42 or something, whatever it was at that time. I bought the same card. I figured if he's still married, he knows what he's doing. So I bought the same damn card he bought. You know, I mean, that's how sad it is for us. Because if you send one joking, they get mad you're never romantic. If you buy one that's romantic, you're not serious about this. You know, I mean, you can't win.
So here's the big question. And I'm giggling because, yes, I think all the women and all the men listening, because I have both female and male listeners, they're thinking, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right. Right. It's where men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Right. I go back to how I started the intro. What can give a tip for a guy, give a tip for a lady? So that, and because I believe, right, action steps are a beautiful thing, Richard. So what can the men try that's simple and not too far out of their comfort zone? And same thing for the ladies to try, not too far out of that comfort zone, but to get our male, female, like almost walking a step towards each other.
Yeah. I mean, the first one is for the guy is to say to their spouse or their significant other, their sister, it can be for anybody they're buying something. Hey, listen. I know I've not hit it out of the ballpark buying you gifts. You know what would help me? Because I really want to buy things that you like. It would help me if you give me some idea, even the stores you go to or you know, your size. Or just help me understand, because I don't want to disappoint you. And sometimes it's easier for me not to buy anything rather than disappoint you. It's already, either way, it's going to disappoint you, but I'm not embarrassed by trying to get you something you don't like. I think that's what this, it shares. I really care. I want to. It's not like I don't desire to do something for you. It's just that it's out of my zone. So the more you can give me some tips, you don't have to give me exactly. You don't need to say, I want this, unless you really want that. I don't have a problem with that either, because you may know you love it, but you don't want to spend the money. Let's say you want you want a designer bag. And you have a specific one, then and you would never spend the money to buy it. That's something I'll buy you. But if you want that specific, otherwise, just give me some general tips. Now, the woman, same thing. Hey, listen, I realize that I probably beat you up too much about what you bought me, or I say how I'm upset or whatever. And it never occurred to me that it might be helpful to give you some tips to help you make it easier. Or you know what? At Macy's, or whatever store, there's a sales girl there that knows me real well. Go up and tell her who you are, and she knows me because I go there a lot, or this boutique or whatever, and give them some help. You know, and the other thing about friendship is I think women need to understand that what we don't have. And I think sometimes they're so wanting to understand us, but you have to understand, if we don't understand us and don't feel comfortable as a man amongst men, I feel even, because if I tell you Connie is my wife, this is my problem, what assurance do I have that you're not going to say, God, I want out of this marriage. This guy hasn't got his act together.
Yeah. And you know, can I share a story? Because I think is important both for men and women. So the beginning of our marriage, we're probably 6 months in, and my husband worked for a company and they promoted this person, and the person was ill-equipped for the job, nepotism, whatever it was, I don't know. But my husband's a much quieter than I am. Okay. So he's a more subdued dude. And so first 6 months, and his disposition changed. And I thought he wants a divorce. He doesn't want to be married to me. Maybe I'm too strong-willed. You know, all these doubts started. And every time I'd say, what's going on? And he'd say, I'm just tired, you know, busy at work, just tired, just tired, just tired. So one night we got in bed and I said, you okay? And he says, I'm just tired. And I sat up and I said, okay, I know that's bull. So do you want a divorce? Is something going on? I can't live like this, because every time I think something's wrong and I ask you, tell me you're tired. And I know you're not tired. What's going on? If you want a divorce, tell me, just tell me. I can't live like this. And he said, I'm having trouble at work. I go, what do you mean you're having trouble at work? And he reiterates. And and it's funny, because the one time I called, this person answered the phone and they literally sounded illiterate. Okay. They clearly were not professional in a capacity. And here my husband is the utmost of professional. I go, that person? He's like, yeah. And I go, idiot, right? This is my reaction. And he said, yeah, I'm making my life hard. And I don't know if I should put, and he was in such turmoil. My response, because we were living in an apartment, we were newlyweds. We hadn't bought a house yet. We could live off my income. Quit. He looked at me and he said, what? I said, go in tomorrow, tell her, use some superlatives and quit. He's like, I can't do that. I go, yeah, you can. We can live off my income. You should not be under this level of duress. Go in, tell the person to shove it where the sun don't shine and look for another job. So after I said that, he goes, you're kidding me. I said, I'm not kidding you. That is ridiculous to live this way. Went in, right? Now he's a new person, because he could tolerate it, because he had an out of, when it gets too much, I'll walk away. Net, he did. He posted, he got a job in another thing. But he often said to me, I couldn't believe your response. And I go, I couldn't believe you didn't tell me. How do you not tell me that? For 6 months, I thought you didn't want to be married. So see, that's another thing too, Richard. We go to the worst case scenario, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And because I'm a woman, okay, he wants a divorce. And he's thinking, I can't tell her. She'll think I'm a loser. And it was the opposite. It was the opposite. So, but being honest with each other, especially when you're unsure of things, it's hard. What resources? We're almost out of time, but what resources?
Wait, I want to address what you just said. I think one of the other things I think is really important. That's a great example, because one, he is taught in his mind head that I'm the head of the household. I need to be the provider, and I don't want to bring my dirty laundry home and damage my home. But what I encourage people to do is that you have a 15 minute check-in at home. Mm. If right now everybody works, most people, both spouses work.
Yes.
So what I encourage them is when you come home, each person gets a 15 minute to just give an update on their job. What's going on? What's not going on? And it's almost like flushing it down the toilet. Once that's done, no more discussion about that, but just process it, say it. Then the other one gets 15 minutes. It may not take 15 minutes, but allow at least 15 minutes. Say, okay, what are you going to do about it? Or do you want some feedback? And ask, don't preach. Do you want me to give you some feedback on that? Or are you just flushing it down the toilet and want to release it so that we have quality family time? I am number one is family time is crucial. What you said to your husband, I always tell people the ultimate risk is you will shovel cow manure to feed your family. So no one owns you. You got to go into a job saying, I'm loaning myself to you.
Sure.
And once I feel like I'm being abused, I'll go flip hamburgers at a fast food place, then let you own me.
Absolutely.
Because we could always survive.
Absolutely.
So I think people don't need to be a prisoner to their job, but you don't want to let it bleed into your home life, because now you're letting them own your whole damn life.
Absolutely. Giving up the power.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. What are resources, or how can, I'm going to give your information. So if people want to connect with you, certainly, and chat with you and absolutely work with you, but you're working on a networking thing and the book. So please share both, because I think both are real, real important.
Okay. The shopping guide, I think, is really a humorous thing that women could purchase to fill in, and it could be a wonderful introduction to your spouse. And it's going to be inexpensive, under $10. And it completely addresses everything. I've had my nieces who's in fashion, my wife. It covers everything a woman could possibly want in life.
I love it.
See, everything. That's one thing. But the other thing is there are a number of, I'm starting, like I said, masculinity. I have a CD I could send to people. It's Masculinity, Revealing the Man Behind. And it really talks in depth about what I just talked to you about. It's almost all those examples in the CD. That is a conversational thing. I've sold it many times to women who gave it to their husbands to listen. Husbands were very thankful. I've had women give it to their fathers, to their sons, or just for them to understand and learn themselves.
I love it.
And, you know, I think there are a number, for men, there are a number of books out there that I could recommend. Too many to list if you really want to know. There's a lot of men support groups around the country. And I don't mean support like we're wounded. Gentlemen, we're not wounded. Support groups are an opportunity to learn and grow. I am so sick of the word, like mental health. You mentioned that earlier. There's so much going on about mental health.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, when I first got on the national speaking circuit, contracts didn't even want me to mention mental health because it was like soft skill. It wasn't, you know, touchy feely. But, you know, we do a lot about physical health. Mental health does not mean schizophrenia, depression. No. It means about healthy thinking and logical thinking and how to deal with conflict, self-esteem. All that's mental health. That's Absolutely. Not a negative damn thing. I'm so angry that that is looked upon. People hear mental health, that's the first thing. Or abusing the word depressed. That is such an abuse term. If you and I were on vacation, our couples, your husband and you and my wife and I, and we went on vacation, but it rained the whole damn time we were in Florida. When we come home and someone says, how was your weekend? Oh, I was depressed. Well, no, you weren't depressed. You were disappointed. You were let down. You were frustrated. You were irritated. You weren't depressed. But we say that word too lightly. So that it's almost mainstream that we don't recognize it when it's serious.
Yeah.
When someone's really depressed.
Yeah.
Or schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
I agree. And you're right. Mental health is mental health. Being healthy in how you think, how you approach, how you learn, how you live.
How you feel.
Right. We know we have to eat healthy foods. We have to put healthy thoughts in our brain. I mean, all of those things are part of that mental health. I agree 100%. Guys, we're out of time. Oh my God, Richard, we definitely have to do another show. He and I could talk forever. This happened when we first met.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, this is my first podcast guest appearance. Yes. So I'm just honored that you asked me.
Richard,
thank you.
I love that I'm your maiden voyage. That makes me very happy on your podcast career. So I'm sure many more to come. But guys, listen, ladies, men, honestly, Richard is, he and I, we had so much fun in our first conversation. We talked about so many amazing different things about my kids and my husband. And he's very easy to chat with and funny. And it'll be, trust me, a really fun conversation. So email him at, it's Richard, Avdoyan, and I'm going to spell that. It's Avdoyan. So Richard, Avdoyan.com. Also, if you like to follow him, his book's coming out. You have the CDs available on the website too, right, Richard?
Yeah. Right.
Go to Richard Avdoyan again, Avdoyan, and then it's .com. I will post it on the show notes, guys. I practiced saying his name before we started the show, but I will post it so you could get in touch with him. Richard, thank you so much.
I can't wait.
By the way,
I'll send you the book.
I better get a signed copy of the book. Right.
You got the CD, though. I sent you the CD.
I did. Yes, I have the CD, guys. Okay. But I want a signed copy of that book.
You will get it.
Can I tell you, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Again, ladies, what a wonderful tool for us to aid our husbands buying us the right stuff. And we're helping the guys, right? Being able to wanting to please us and pleasing us in a really nice way. Richard, everything I think we talked about for me is about understanding and then just communicating and not be afraid to just share what's really going on. I know, guys, I'm the female going, yeah, lady, it's easy for you chicks. I understand. But I really do think having those conversations just make life so much sweeter. Really, really. Richard, thank you so much for being on.
I loved this show.
This was a lot of fun.
Take care.
So much good information. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change you're going through, today. I love the change we talked about. But if it's that type of change in relationships, again, I have wonderful resources like Richard in my life that I'm blessed with, that I hope his humor and stories and content resonated with you today. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week, and just try to have a different conversation than you typically have with your spouse, your significant other, whatever that is, and use some of Richard's advice. I thank you all for joining me. I am honored to have you on this journey. Richard, thank you for a great show, and I'll see you all next week. Thanks, everybody.